Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're back here on Rutherford Issues and powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. You know, the holiday season is here, and in downtown Murfreesboro, we flipped the switch on the tree next Friday night, the 5th. So be sure to be a part of that. It's powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Starts around 6 in terms of the tree lighting activities all evening with caroling, Santa, and of course, bringing in the joy of the season downtown. Celebrate Christmas next Friday. Well, it's time to talk about Rutherford County Schools, and from the school board joining today, Caleb Tidwell, school board member, and first of all, happy post-Thanksgiving. Did you get out of shopping today by coming in here? I don't know.
I haven't got out of it yet, but thanks for having me on, Brian.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Good to have you. Always good to catch up on these on Rutherford County Schools and hear from our school board members, and I guess all the buzz has been locally with sports about the big football game tonight. Pretty cool that Rutherford County is guaranteed a trip to the state championship game one way or another.
That's right. Well, as a graduate of Oakland High School, I'll be cheering on the defending champions, the Patriots, but I'm glad that we'd have somebody representing either way.
Yeah, yeah. Oakland has won 4 out of the last 5 state championships, so it's hard to go against them, but
let's just go ahead and make it 5. You know, 5 out of 6 is not bad.
Blackman's going to have a little something to say about that, I would think. But, yes. You know, there has been quite a bit of information on Twitter about making sure you get there early and there is a capacity and all these kinds of things. And the weapons detection and all, you know, the clear bag policy, all of those things. People are used to that now, but I haven't had a chance to catch up with you and get your thoughts on that, but I would think anything that we can do to one more safety measure doesn't hurt anybody.
That's right. And, you know, to be honest, I think if you're wanting to go to this game tonight and you're wanting to see the first half, you need to be there. You plan to be there probably an hour and a half earlier or earlier. There's going to be a lot of traffic, especially the way that's set up for Oakland. It's kind of on the backside. And then they're going to make sure that everybody goes through that weapon detection system. And that's for a cause that we're all a part of, which is safety. That's paramount here. But there will likely, even though it is a great system and they're going to have a lot of people working it, it will likely slow things down. And as you would expect, there's going to be a very large crowd there tonight, hopefully a capacity crowd. I think that'd be great for both teams to get that kind of support. But it's for a good reason that we have these things in place. But if you're wanting to actually enjoy the game without the fear of possibly missing a good portion of it, I would imagine it would be best to get there as early as possible and just make a night of it. You know, yeah. If you've already shopped all the morning, just go ahead and take a break in the evening and enjoy the second half.
You can get dinner there, you know, at the concession stand and help out there and just get there early enough and, you know, it'll be a great evening, obviously. That's been a couple of things that I guess if we were to say, let's talk about things that happened this first semester, you know, that and the new cell phone regulations or whatever you want to call it. Those are two of the big things that affected our schools this semester.
That's right. And both are pretty significant changes. Of course, I'd say the same thing about the weapon detection system. Mm-hmm. Security, safety has always been paramount for Rutherford County Schools. When I go and travel to conferences, whether it's a state conference or a national conference, and they're telling us about all the things that we could possibly do to increase our safety measures, Rutherford County is always ahead of the grain. So one of these things that we're doing, we've kind of jumped out here and went with the weapon detection system for all of our schools. And initially, it wasn't something that I was a huge proponent of. I do not want our schools to feel not like a school, a welcoming place. And so I didn't initially like the idea of it. But as the world that we live in has some certain challenges to it, we want to make sure that we're doing everything in our power. And this is another tool that we had in our bag. So initially, whenever we started the weapon detection systems, there were long lines for students to get in and figure out what they needed to bring and what they had to hand the 3-ring binders, set those things off, and how they had to hand that out. And just learning the system, now that I've seen it in play, it is certainly sped up. it's a great system. I'm glad that we have it. They're very mobile. We get to use them for not just our schools, but also for extracurricular activities, basketball games, football game tonight.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to have. So weapon detections, yes, that's a great thing. You mentioned the cell phone policy. I was a kind of spearheading this particular policy here locally, and then, of course, the state made a lot of changes. We had a strong policy to begin with, and, of course, implementing it is neither fun for the teacher or the school system this generation is so attached to social media and different things. But when we look at the data and the studies about cell phone usage and the damage that it can cause, the distractions that it is, how many, I think they said, one of the studies said that a notification causes a 45-second distraction. So just it could be a text, could be an email, could be whatever, a 45-second distraction for a student. And the average student gets about 300 notifications a day.
Wow.
So with that, just filling it, even if it's on vibrator, fill it in your pocket, they're thinking about it, they're just losing that focus. Is so-and-so texting me about tonight's football game? You know, are we making plans? Whatever it may be. But it becomes this distraction. So we also learn the schools that took the step to restrict it significantly, their improvements, their performance increased, their discipline issues decreased. And so we're waiting to see what the data is as we go out throughout this first year, but I can't believe that it's not going to be positive. It's certainly going to be a beneficial factor for the students.
Now, you mentioned we already had a fairly strong, you know, policy for cell phone use in schools, but now it's like pretty much no cell phones during the school day.
Pretty much. I mean, they have them. They can have them on their person, but we want them to have them off. So, but it had to be a really emergent situation for them, where they could turn it back on in those type of situations and reach out to their parents or family members or what. God forbid that would be a situation, but they do have them. We just didn't want them to be actively available to the students because it is such a distraction. Yeah. And you know, just beyond that, the social fabric of not being able to, the face-to-face communication and stuff that we're having right here today, it's harder for that generation than it is for us because they're so used to that communication through a screen. So beyond just the academic portions, the social emotional portions are still having a great impact on just restricting that. So they do have them on them. They are powered off. So there is that helps the emergency thing, which is about the only benefit that I can personally see. As far as them talking to their coaches and lining up practice and all that, hey, do that the night before, a couple days before. If there's a change of the day, have the coach reach out to the students. We can make that work. We made it work way before cell phones. Right. We're going to be fine after them.
Well, and that maybe that's why we have morning announcements and
that's
pay
right.
attention to all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
So it's going to be interesting to see. We're seeing a lot of young people, you know, that are in their 20s, maybe even early 30s, but trying to also take a step back approach. Because they were of the generation when it just really started to take off, and now they're trying to take a step back from that, you know, with constant messaging and on social media so much, and make time for friends, family, face-to-face conversations. So society sometimes takes care of things.
That's agreed. And there was a documentary that came out called The Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you see that?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. So eye-opening just to see. And that's for not the kids, of course, as well. When you have some of these CEOs of these companies that have these algorithms and they're saying, yeah, I don't let my own kid have a cell phone because of how strong the algorithm is. It just shows you that it force feeds you to keep you looking. It doesn't care. It doesn't hold a moral balance there. It just wants to literally just make sure your eyeballs are still connected, because then the more connected you are there, the more clicks, the more videos, the more views, the better the advertisement, the better the revenue. Mm-hmm. So with all those factors playing a part of it, it can get time. It's easy for any of us to get wrapped up into it. It's something that I think we have to actively stand against and monitor ourselves. But it's easy to get wrapped up into that, because on the other side, it can be an extremely useful tool. So I mean, I use mine for business all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would hate to disconnect it completely. But restricting that and just making sure you're focused, there are some things that I think some of the major companies are doing to have like a focus feature where it cuts off your notifications for a while where you work. There are items like that. But I think generally the step back that you're seeing is just people being, it's like they have to get pushed so far to one direction that they just naturally, the people will start stepping back. And so there is a small, like right now, there's a small push to go back to dumb phones, is what they're calling them. And I actually know someone that has one. I'm super impressed that they're able to survive on that. But, but you know, I think the point is, if you notice that something is taking up, consuming more of your time, and it's built and designed, and that's the social dilemma part that I loved, it's designed to grab your time as much as possible all the time. When it's designed that way, you got to be super cautious of how much you let it take over the time that you have.
It can, it's definitely a social dilemma for sure. We're talking with Caleb Tidwell, Rutherford County School Board member. Caleb, how many years have you been on the board?
I have been a school board member since September of 2022. So coming up on 6 years.
In that 6 year time, we've added more schools. We're what, 52 schools now?
52.
With 53 coming out of the ground at Poplar Hill Middle School.
That's right.
And more on the way. The growth that we have seen just in your 6 years there has been tremendous.
It's been substantial. Now, I'm basically born and raised in this area. Yeah. Lived in Mercerville all my life. Love it. Understand the appeal of why other people keep coming here. But as long as we have the substantial growth, there was a period where we did not build any schools. I say Rutherford County Schools did not build any schools. I went on the board at that time for 4 years. And the growth did not stop.
Right.
And so we are literally playing catch up to a plan that should have been possibly done a little bit better, strategically planned a little bit better.
And even already behind before that, too.
And behind before that as well. Yeah. And so that just increased the load. So we use every tool at our disposal. Of course, we're building schools. We're building a school a year. Basically, we got Poplar Elementary plus the additions last year. So we opened up three high school additions and the elementary school. We plan to open up another addition at Laverne High School in the fall of 2026, along with the middle school. We're in a contract right now for some property on the north end. Very dense. I say the north end is kind of northwestern side, but very dense area up there, Lee Road property. We plan to ask for a high school for that. Now that takes a little bit longer to build, so we won't be able to hit that new school every single year, and a little bit more substantial
cost. Is that Blackman Stewart's Creek area?
Yes.
Kind of. Okay.
Yep. And it will pull students from those areas.
Yeah.
And that'll provide some relief, but we also, you know, we have to do the rezone, and that's almost like a curse word if you're a school board member. It gets the emails, it gets the phone calls, it disrupts lives. And of course we understand that. And some people have been rezoned multiple times.
I was going to say, you probably have had to deal with rezoning every year that you've been on the board, just about almost.
So we decided to approach that a little bit differently. We had a group come in that, an outside group that does this, pulls all the data, looks at the new builds, looks at the birth rates, they look at all the data. Paid them to come in. We've been working with them. I think this is our third year now. And they provide all the data for us to make these decisions. So our purpose was to set it up to where we would not be rezoning every 2 years. And then where you wouldn't have grandfathered students in as dual zones in that outlast the rezone. And then by the time those disappear, you got to rezone again. It's just, you kept people constantly moving.
Yeah.
So we tried to do a lot of forecasting, a lot of projection there. And it ended up being a really good thing. We made some adjustments where some of these areas that have to do rezone, we did a district-wide rezone, so just touched everybody last year. Now, we had been talking about that for 2 or 3 years. We got community input. We went and had community meetings at different schools on the south side, the north end. I think we had 3 or 4 different areas. We got input from the community. And, you know, still it was an adjustment. but at least it was a slow move instead of just like the quick cutoff. So we've made those adjustments, and that was for the district wide. That was a tool that we had in our own toolbox from the count, the Rutherford County Schools. But still, people continue to come. And just to kind of paint an example, you have these new developments that are happening right beside schools, right beside them. So if your zone was a large geographic zone, I'm going to use Rockville area as an example. So if you're a zone like Rockville, and you have kind of a rural area, it's a large geographic zone, and you're kind of on the outskirts of that zone. And then they're building all these new houses right beside Rockville. Well, if you have a lot of new students move into there, that is going to shrink the geographic zone of Rockville toward the school because their house is right beside it.
Yeah.
And there are individuals, and look, and I understand this argument. They said, we've always been Rockville, you know, 10 years, whatever, we've always been on, and they've been kind of on the outskirts. But as people build in around these schools, which is appealing to the developers, they want to be as close to those schools as possible, especially we're a great, we can get later into the reward schools, but we are a very high performing district. We got a lot of fantastic schools. So that's appealing as well. So it's a selling point to these developers to build as close to these schools as possible. When they do that, what that does is that cuts out those individuals in those rural areas, and it shoots them over to the areas where there aren't developments happening right beside the school. I don't know how you stop that. At least from the school district standpoint, we don't have an ability to stop that. And I think our county commission has done a fair job of doing everything that they can in their wheelhouse to try to not shut off growth, but battle it as best as possible. But it's like when we get to the Stewart's Creek area, and we can talk about that if you'd like to as well. Booming area.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people in that area, and they're tired of the growth there. They're tired of it as well. But the reason people keep moving there is because they love it there. The same reason the people that live there now love it. They're like, hey, we love it, and we don't want it to change. And I'm with you, a Murfreesboro person. I'm like, hey, I want Murfreesboro to slow down. I like, we love having all the restaurants, but we want it to slow down. But with that being said, that same reason people are going to continue to move there, which means there's a demand. And as long as there's a demand, developers are still going to build there. And unless there is some outside source, I don't know if it'd be the state, I don't know if it'd be the local city, municipalities, that could put restrictions, which both seem to be very unlikely to do,
sure.
Then it's going to continue. And so our job at the school district is to work with the tools that we have, which is that district-wide rezone, which we did. And then as we open up new schools, there are going to be new rezones, which is where we're at with the middle school.
And so opening up Poplar Hill Middle is going to require to rezone, especially in that area, the schools?
Yes, especially in that area. But for the middle schools, we haven't done a middle school rezone, I think, in 8 or 9 years.
Okay.
So this isn't something that they've had to deal with a lot more often. So now that we have this new middle school opening up, yes, we're going to have to rezone because we got to pull kids to get them into that school and then relieve some of these other schools. But when those get relieved, it's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
So the schools closest, they get some relief. But then we got to give them enough relief to get to the school that's like to pass them, and then they come and fill the other seats. So we're spreading it out best we can, because the projections that we're seeing, which is 56,000 students in the next 5 years, not as a total, that's another substantial increase. And so you're talking about 4,000 more students. We got to have somewhere to put them.
Well, in the typical high school is what, 2,000?
Yeah, well, 2,500. Okay. We would like to shrink those a little bit. We've even talked about doing like a hybrid model where we have, instead of a 2,500 seat high school on the north end, we build a 1,200 seat or 1,500 seat high school on the north end, and then the same one, same size on the south end. A little bit more cost, but it's easier to build and buy now than it will be years down the road, and we will need it on the south end later as well. You just tend to have better performance, less discipline issues, yeah, the smaller your community school is versus these large schools.
But are we going to wind up in 5 years adding on to that 1,500 to make it 2,000 and then, It would seem that would be the logical thing to do if you needed more space and you had the school, right?
Absolutely. Perfect example. We build Poplar Hill Elementary and Stewart's Creek. It's right there. I mean, right there. And Poplar Hill, it's got some space left. I mean, we tried to leave some room for growth that we knew was coming in there based on the projections. But Stewart's Creek is still slightly above capacity, and that's after shifting students from all around the area.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as soon as you pour a little water out, somebody just dumps another gallon in.
Yeah.
It's a desirable place to live, so I get it.
That is just part of the growth. If you think that this is going to end the rezoning and end the adjustments and all, it's not. I mean, we're going to continue to see that.
Yeah, it's not really possible. I keep going back to Stewart's Creek because it's almost fascinating at this point to how you know, terrible it's been up there.
What's happening in Stewart's Creek is what's happened in Blackmon, that explosive growth.
Yes.
We're seeing that there now.
Yes, and you know what? And Blackmon still does have some growth, but it's so dense that it's harder for them developers to bring in and buy a huge piece of land. It's like what land is left. And Stewart's Creek will eventually get that way. But in the meantime, there's going to be adjustments. So the rezoning will continue to happen, but just know your school board members, I know we don't agree on all things at our school board, but we are all in agreement that we are trying to do the best we can to prevent these rezones from being a annual occurrence. And what determines that? It's going to be how many people that move into some of these developments nearby are families. I mean, we got projections, we got ideas, but we don't really know until it's done.
Yeah.
It's going to continue to be a battle, but we're going to continue to face it and continue to build schools and continue to rezone in the best ways that we can to shift students to open seats, which is Stewart's Creek here. That's kind of what we're doing with Browns Chapel and Stewart's Creek. Browns Chapel's got space. Stewart's Creek's obviously still always out of space. A lot of people love their Stewart's Creek community. I completely get that. But, you know, unfortunately, you got seats open at Browns Chapel and you have no seats at all at Stewart's Creek Elementary. You got to shift. And hey, for us to go to the county commission and say, hey, we need to build another school, they're going to be like,
You've got seats here.
Why are you not using these? So we're making sure that we're doing everything the right way and making those cuts that we have to do as small as possible.
Last year, when that came up during the rezoning, it made more sense because I remember watching one of the meetings and Dr. Sullivan saying, well, if you don't do this, and I go to this before the school board and they say, well, you've got several hundred, you know, seats here and here and here. Why do you need another new school? What's the answer if you didn't rezone? So
it's a great case.
Yep. Yeah. Before our time gets away and we're almost out of time, I do want to talk about the record number of reward schools this year. I mean, that's remarkable for the district.
It's awesome. Look, we're a level 5 district, which is amazing. We had 32 of our schools get a level 5 distinction. But on top of that, you know, this typically deals around the end of the year testing. The reward schools, and so we got those results back. 28 reward schools. Now, the previous record was 21, so it just wiped it out. And you know, that's a testament. Those results based on some performance and growth and chronic absenteeism, things we've all worked to improve at the board. But the credit really goes to our staff, our principals, our EAs, all of those. Hey, our custodians that are keeping the buildings. It goes back to the people that are in the daily lives of these students that are not only providing a great atmosphere for them to be educated in, but also those great educators that we have in our system that are continuing to improve the lives of the students they get to work with.
Caleb, it's great to catch up with you. I love talking about Rutherford County Schools. I mean, between myself and John and the sports team, we're in the high schools. We do 150 high school events a year between mid-August and the end of May. And so we get to know a lot of these, especially high school principals and administrators and And we just have a wonderful school system, and athletics is a part of that, especially on the high school side. But just to see the reward schools, that's a testament to what's happening here in our district, and another reason why we have growth and rezoning and all that kind of thing too. So
that's right. Well, listen, we appreciate you guys highlighting the school system so much and being a part. We know you're a part of the community. We grew up listening to you ourselves, yeah. But we're just so thankful that you guys continue to promote what the good things that are going around in our school system today.
And a lot of it. Well, Caleb, thanks for coming in. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you back here next month, I think.
Sounds great. I'll be here.
All right. That's Caleb Tidwell joining us, Rutherford County School Board member. That's going to wrap up our show today. Thanks for joining, and have a good day out there, everybody.